I'm Steven Steigman, sitting in for Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date. So, you think you know what the Export-Import Bank does, right? Well, it's okay if you don't. I think you're in good company. But we'll spend the next few minutes finding out what the Export-Import Bank of the United States does and why it matters in Kansas City. This afternoon, Fred Hochberg, chairman and president of the Export-Import Bank, will participate in a business roundtable and then tour a local small business with Representative Emmanuel Cleaver as part of a three-day swing to support American supply chains. Fred Hochberg joins me now. Mr. Hochberg, welcome to Up to Date. And welcome to Kansas City. Well, let's get to the basics, because I'm guessing a lot of people don't know what your organization does. What does the Export-Import Bank do?
Well, the Export-Import Bank, we've been around for about 80 years. We support U.S. exporters when they're selling overseas to make sure we support more jobs here at home. One of the great ways of supporting jobs in our country and good-paying jobs is through exports. Exports are contributing about a third of our economic growth right now, far more than their exposure in our economy. And so that's what we do. We do that when the private sector is either unwilling or unable to step in, sometime in developing countries or sometime when the credit market seize up.
Give me an example, if you would, of an American company that uses the Export-Import Bank in order to kind of gain a competitive advantage here.
Well, good example. I just left Black & Veatch, the engineering firm in Oakland Park. Black & Veatch is building a power plant in South Africa, competed head-to-head against a British competitor. They got over an $800 million contract to do all the design and engineering for this power plant, have 200 engineers from America working in South Africa for up to 5 years. Those jobs are supported by our loan, our guaranteed loan, to the power authority in South Africa, and that created a lot of jobs right here in the Kansas City area.
So why aren't they going to more traditional financing rather than to the Export-Import Bank?
Great question. Well, they would. The problem is twofold. During the financial crisis in particular, very difficult to obtain financing. This project started 4 or 5 years ago. Secondly, countries like South Africa and other developing countries have a lot harder time accessing the private sector. So we step in when the private sector steps back during the financial crisis or in countries that are just very difficult to find commercial financing. So that's the kind of projects we do. The other projects we do, I think you mentioned, I'm visiting a company this afternoon called Gasket Engineering with Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. A small business is in the supply chain. They too need that support so they can sell in challenging markets. And I would say the last thing I just quickly throw in is China. China is a very formidable competitor around the world, particularly in places like sub-Saharan Africa. And if we want to go, our employees and our exporters go head-to-head with China, we need to make sure they have the backing of the Exim Bank when needed.
Can you give me an example in other examples in the bank's 80-year history when support has been for the Export-Import Bank has been more beneficial than other times, like the financial crisis?
Well, I would say what I've learned, I've been at the bank 6 years. Last week, I had my sixth anniversary.
Congratulations.
What I've learned, I would say, is probably the most dominant thing that influences when we're called in. We're a little bit like a fire truck. You know, you don't need a fire truck every day, but when you have an emergency, we step in and reduce any impact that would have. So the financial crisis, banks pulled back, less liquidity, less lending, and we step forward, and our lending is almost double today's rates just 2 years ago. So financial crises globally, or when we had the Asian crisis or the peso crisis many years ago. So if we have both regional or sector crises, we're able to keep trade flowing, and most importantly, jobs at a higher level in the United States.
How much does the American taxpayer support the Export-Import Bank?
Well, by international accord, we are totally self-funding. And in fact, we collect a fee for our work. We collect like insurance premiums, interest on loans. We put aside a loan loss reserve. And the rest we send to the taxpayers for deficit reduction. Last year alone, we sent $675 million to the taxpayers for deficit reduction.
Some think that the market should sort these things out, that if we didn't have export-import banks, the market would eventually balance. The Competitive Enterprise Institute writes that for most of its history, the Export-Import Bank has directed most of its benefits to a handful of large, politically connected firms. In other words, its main function is to dispense corporate welfare. With more than $37 billion in business in 2013 and a total portfolio near its statutory limit of $140 billion, EXIM is one of the federal government's largest corporate welfare programs. What do you think about that?
Rubbish.
Why so?
90% of our customers are small businesses. 90% of the businesses we work with directly are small businesses shipping goods and services overseas. And in those that are not small businesses, there's a huge supply chain. A company like I mentioned, Gasket Engineering, is in the supply chain of Siemens. So when Siemens exports and we finance it, Gasket Engineering is right along with that. So I don't understand this corporate welfare argument. One, there's no welfare. People pay for their services, and we send our profits to the taxpayer. So I don't see where the welfare. Welfare means you send money from one group of people to another. Yes, our customers give us money, and we give it to the taxpayer.
One of the bank's biggest customers is Boeing commercial aircraft. Boeing knows how to give out loans. Why does it need the export-import?
We don't lend a single dime to Boeing. What we do is when Boeing is competing overseas, say for Ethiopian Airways or Kenya Airways, to just name two companies, we make sure there's a level playing field. A company like Boeing is competing against Airbus. Airbus is backed by the government of Germany, France, and Great Britain. We want to make sure that there's a level playing field, the customer chooses the best airplane, and if needed, our financing will be there to support them. We often don't need it. So we're not lending any money to Boeing. We're making sure that customers have a level playing field, can choose the best product for them, and putting financing on the side.
So Boeing couldn't do it on their own, is what you're saying?
No. Boeing is an aircraft company. They're not a bank. You know, if I'm a farmer, I'm not running a restaurant. I mean, they're different businesses.
So the Export-Import Bank of the United States is certainly not the only one out there. How many countries have export-import banks?
Well, some countries have two or three of them, frankly.
Why would they have two or three?
Some of them, we have one that does all of our small business and short-term work and our larger long-term loans. Some divide that into two. China, in fact, has two plus another two banks that do also export-related lending. So they've got as many as four. Right now, our latest count is in the range of about 79 export credit agencies around the world.
So are you, in effect, competing against other export-import banks in a sense?
Well, we're making sure that U.S. companies can compete on a level playing field. So if you're a U.S. exporter and you're competing against a foreign competitor and they're often backed by their government, we want to make sure you're equally backed. We don't want to turn our back on U.S. workers while other countries either subsidize or fully support their exporters, and we leave ours alone on the playing field.
And that certainly makes sense. There's a lot our previous guest had mentioned that your 6 years as chair of the Export-Import Bank, you could serve possibly as the last chairman of the Export-Import Bank. What do you think about the movement in Congress right now to get rid of EXIM?
Well, last week we had a historic vote on the Trade Promotion Authority. Over 62 voted in favor of it, which will actually expand opportunities for trade and jobs in the United States. One of the things that outgrowth of that was Majority Leader Mitch McConnell agreed that there will be a vote on EXIM in the month of June. So we're making progress in that area. Speaker Boehner has made it clear that to the House that he wants to make sure there's a vote on EXIM in the House. President has also indicated, President Obama, very strong support for the Export-Import Bank, particularly now that we've gotten TPA moving forward. So I'm still optimistic, but I'm also a realist. We have about 30 days left, so we don't have any time to waste.
What would happen? Just look in your crystal globe right now and tell me what would happen if all of a sudden the Export-Import Bank ceased to function?
Well, Stephen, last year we supported 164,000 jobs. 164,000 jobs were direct benefits from the work, the financing we did. So we would be putting in jeopardy 164,000 jobs. That was just last year alone. And so, one, we're going to put those jobs in jeopardy and future jobs because, as I mentioned, with 79 other export credit agencies around the world, Other countries are doubling down. Other countries are saying, we want to create jobs in our country. Why we'd want to turn our back and make it harder for American workers to get their fair share of global trade is somewhat bewildering to me.
I guess one of the reasons you're on this program today is because there's this perception that people don't know what the Export-Import Bank does. Are you facing that across the country? I'm sure certainly lawmakers, we would think most lawmakers know what the Export-Import Bank is, but are you doing a good enough job of publicizing the work of EXIM?
Well, you know, sometimes people call us EXIM and they think we are a radio station, but we're not. we've been, again, the most important thing are the small businesses. With 90% of our customers being small businesses, it's important that they get the word. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm here. But we got companies, as I mentioned earlier, Black & Veatch right here, Gasket Engineering, just to make sure, one, I learn when I visit these companies, and two, want to make sure that other businesses, if what's keeping you from exporting is fear of getting paid or fear of the financial risk, we can solve that problem for you, if that's the problem. You're still going to have the best price, quality, value, innovation, but if it's fear of the financial risk, the Export-Import Bank can step in and provide that peace of mind.
Fred Hochberg is chairman and president of the Export-Import Bank of the United States. Mr. Hochberg, thank you for being with us today.